Welcome to CFL Family Worldwide. I'm your host, David Gorinto, and the idea of this podcast is to connect with CFL fans from all over the world. We know there's a lot of Canadian Football League fans in Canada, but here in the United States, specifically East Tennessee, I am a huge Canadian Football League fan. I've kind of told my story a little bit. I'll tell it a little more as we go through this podcast bi-weekly during the off-season, and then weekly when the season rolls around. But I'll also have on guests from all over the world. I'll have some from the United States. I've got a few lined up from England, and of course, our wonderful friends in Canada we'll have on here as well. Tonight, we're going to have our first guests, not one, but two people were kind enough to say, hey, I would love to be your first guest, and we're going to Skype with them in a few minutes. Bear with me. I don't know how the audio is going to turn out. This is our first podcast in this format. This will be the first time using Skype and trying to record a call here using GarageBand. So we'll see how it works. There'll be a lot of things that we'll tweak over time. But this podcast, it's not my podcast. This is our podcast. Again, this is CFL Family Worldwide. So it's not the David Gorinto story. It's our story together. We're all in this together. It's always amazing to me how many people reach out right away when you need something. I had sent a tweet out earlier today and said, you know, I'm a little worried. I've already booked my flight to Ottawa. We've already got hotel preparations, and I'm worried either this CBA is not going to be done or there won't be any tickets when I get there. And I've already had a few people reach out and say, hey, get hold of this person, or hey, do this, or hey, I will be more than happy to sell you my season tickets for that game just so you can go to the game. CFL family, it's absolutely amazing. I think it's one of the main reasons why I became a CFL fan. So if you have a few minutes, sit back, relax, get to know some fellow CFL fans, and we'll get to it in just a moment. So we're on now, and we've got Steve and Carrie here. If you can tell us, how did you become interested in Canadian football or get into football in general?
I basically was born and raised into it. Grew up in Saskatchewan, so we always had the football games on when it was televised, driving around the tractor, out in the fields, always had it on the radio. It was just one of those things that was a it was a given growing up that you're going to be a Saskatchewan fan.
And for me, it was the when I started high school. They really football is very popular in high school in Saskatchewan, and they would do pep rallies and just kind of get everybody all pumped up and involved in everything. And I've just really enjoyed watching the sport, and I went to school actually with a brother of one of the riders from way back in the day. So of course you watch for them.
That's awesome. So you live in British Columbia now?
Yeah.
Yes.
So how long have you had season tickets to Saskatchewan?
Last year was our first year.
How does that work? Do you drive? Do you fly?
So we're geographically? We both have a lot of family back there, and through Twitter made a lot of friends back there. So we go back usually two, sometimes three times a year. Go back, drive back usually, and catch a game, visit family and friends, and catch another game if they got consecutive weekends, and then work our way home.
So what made you decide now, is it Edmonton you have season tickets to as well?
Yes.
So how did that decision come about? What made you say, hey, you know what, I got a great idea. Let's get another set of season tickets.
It actually came about at Grey Cup. We got in the merchandise shop and got talking with one of the account executives or managers at the merchandise table. And we stood there and talked to her for 15, 20 minutes about being Saskatchewan fans and living in BC and how we've actually seen more games in Edmonton than we have Regina. And she said, well, why don't, you know, have you thought about getting tickets to the Eskimos sees how you're coming to the games anyhow. So we got, after Grey Cup, got talking about it a little bit more and tossed the idea around, I think, individually first before we started talking about it to each other. And I ended up working through Christmas, so of course there were big money stat days at work. And that was kind of a decision we made. We're going to take the money, some of the money I made off the Christmas stats, and put it towards Eskimos tickets.
Another part of that, too, that kind of put me over onto the side of getting season tickets for Edmonton was that the more that we talked to her and stuff, they, because with the Saskatchewan games, we don't actually get back to all of them. So we sell them to friends or family or whatever, or put them on the resale site for the riders. And then with Edmonton, you also have the added benefit of that if you choose not to resell your tickets or you haven't sold them, you can donate them back to the team, and they give them to Stollery, which is the children's hospital. So, and then they give you a tax receipt for your donations at the end of the year.
That's really awesome.
Yes, love the fact that was what got me, right? It got me in the feels.
Well, plus the geographical fact that from here we have to drive through Edmonton to get to Regina. So it just makes sense.
It does. That does make sense now. So I have a question, just because you are both Rider fans. One of the things that's kind of amazed me through my, you know, last couple of years of really latching onto the CFL is the unbelievable amount of Rider fans everywhere. In fact, I'm in East Tennessee, and I teach I'm an assistant principal at Fort Loudoun Middle School, which is a really small school. A really small school. We have like less than 400 students in our middle school. Now we'll talk about, you know, the coach here in a minute, or ex-coach, but he was from just south of us, you know, so there was a little, you know, Saskatchewan connection there, a Rider connection there. But our band director, who splits time with another school, is from Regina and is a Riders fan. So it's just unbelievable that I feel like you can't do anything without bumping into a Riders fan, whether it's on Twitter or even here in East Tennessee. So how does this happen? How are Riders fans absolutely everywhere?
You want to answer that one, or do you want me to?
In the 80s, there was like some really, really hard times, and people were going broke all over the place, and they basically had to leave because they were starving to death. And so they ended up going all over the place trying to, you know, support their families and stuff. And it's, I don't know, because football is such a big thing in Saskatchewan, you just, it's like, almost like they'll take your membership away, that you're not allowed back in the province if you don't keep supporting them, right? And we just love them, because you get so wrapped up and so close because of how everything is back there, that you have the love, and it seems like nobody else is able to really match that, right?
I would definitely say that from what I've seen, it's hard to replicate the Riders fan base. I mean, it's unbelievable. I just saw on Twitter, I'm kind of watching Twitter at the same time to see, you know, and I saw Joe Lozito, who, you know, had posted it. He said 1 year ago he had posted his Twitter poll, you know, and became a Rider fan just because, you know, Rider fans are everywhere. And they took over his Twitter poll like just about any other poll. So it's hard to match the passion that Saskatchewan fans have for football and for their team. And I think really, I think I've said it before, but Piffle's Pod is the one that really kind of got me hooked a few years ago when Mark CFL Week was in Regina, and I was listening to them and getting all the information from CFL Week, and it just kind of exploded from there.
Yeah, We kind of got in on the ground floor with the Joe Lozito poll when he was first talking about becoming a Rider fan and wanted to, you know, see what it was all about. we got involved. We sent him and his family actually a care package of Canadian treats that they just can't get in the States. So that was, I mean, Carrie even baked a fresh batch of butter tarts to send down to him.
Team Raisin, of course.
We don't want to get into that debate. I've seen how that goes.
Let's not even talk about pineapple on pizza.
Right. So it's kind of funny because I plan on, you know, in upcoming episodes, seeing if he'll come on and talk, because I'm sure he was overwhelmed. I don't think he thought it would kind of take the form it did. And being able to watch it from the outside, you know, it was just like watching a snowball roll down a huge mountain. It just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And yeah. Now it's this huge thing to where, you know, I remember when he went to the game out there and I'm watching on ESPN and I see him on TV and I'm like, I know him from Twitter. I was like, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, that was quite the event. I mean, it was Steve from Piffles got that off the ground. And it wasn't just Rider fans that donated money to pay for his flights and everything. It was Eskimos fans, Lions fans, Stamps fans, Bomber fans even. Like, it was just the CFL family kicked in. And, you know, when everybody kicks in $20 or $30, it doesn't cost that much.
Right. Which is just amazing. I mean, what is your CFL family? I mean, everybody I talk to kind of has this, you know, some kind of story with the CFL family that, well, this has happened, or a lot of them is the stories that I've heard are Grey Cup stories, and they're a little fuzzy because they're Grey Cup stories, I guess. But what kind of thing would you have that you would say, hey, you know, this is one thing that's really stood out in my mind from the CFL family?
I think our first real exposure to the CFL family was, I think it was the last season of Taylor Field in Regina. We went to a game, and again, Steve and Ferlin, that was with Piffles Pod, they set up basically a meet and greet. It was, you know, playing.
Well, and Alex and Amy too.
Yep, Alex and Amy were in on it too. They set up a meet and greet for a bunch of Rider fans, and the Dream Team from Calgary was in town, so we kind of took over one pub and just had a great time. Just got to meet everybody, and that was the first exposure, and made a whole bunch of new friends. And then you go to games in Calgary and Edmonton and BC, and you tailgate with these people, and you meet more friends. And it's just, the CFL community is second to none.
And it just kind of snowballs, right? Like, it just turns into a bigger and bigger and bigger, basically like a family reunion.
Except that you actually want to hang out and meet these people.
Right. A family reunion with different families.
Yeah.
So that's the great thing. So what is it about Canadian football that does this? Because I look at everything. I mean, I've been to baseball games, basketball games, hockey games, and I don't see the same kind of thing where fan bases can come together and coexist and talk on Twitter and even talk a little trash back and forth on Twitter in a nice way where you can still walk away and be friendly. Now, I know there are some people out there, you know, that may be jerks, so to speak, but I think as far as my experience, the CFL community and the CFL family has far fewer jerks than any other sport or any other fan base. So what do you attribute that to?
I don't know myself. I mean, other than kind of just being the Canadian way, and that's what we do. All these cities that the CFL team is in, for the most part, they're fairly isolated. Like, they're hours and hours apart from each other. So, and the CFL being around for as long as it has been, 110 or 112 years or whatever the league itself has been around, it's just a generational thing. People grow up loving the game. It's the game. It's the people involved. It's, you get to know everybody involved in your hometown team because that's just what you do.
It's like
everybody goes. And the CFL itself is a special entity because there is no other professional sports league, I think, on the planet that you can go to Grey Cup or go to a game and have that kind of open access to players, owners, management, coaches, everybody.
And the players, like, they'll recognize you, right? Like, we were a couple days after Grey Cup, we were walking down the street in Edmonton, and Jovan Johnson was downtown. He saw us. He's like, "Hey guys, how's it going?" Like, he recognized us.
That's unheard of. I mean, in any other sport, I mean, that doesn't happen. I mean, and I agree, the access and the connectivity of the CFL and the interactivity of the CFL is second to none. We'll kind of wrap it up here in just a minute, but before we do, what favorite CFL memory for each of you?
Oh, favorite CFL memory? There's so many that stick out, but I mean, probably for me, getting to share Grey Cup this year with Carrie. This was her first Grey Cup to go to in Edmonton, and having a lot of friends to meet there, like people from across the continent that you talk to every day, you tease them relentlessly every day, and then you meet in a strange city and you're buying everybody else drinks. Like, it's just, that was probably one of the best memories I can have of CFL, let alone a Grey Cup.
Yeah, no, Grey Cup this year was probably right up there on my memorable moments. Like, getting to, like Steve said, meeting all the people from across the league and, you know, meeting them for the very first time and feeling like you've known them forever, like you know, grew up with them or whatever, right? So it was pretty special.
That's the crazy thing for me is I follow all of you on Twitter and talk to all of you on Twitter. And when I see you all at a game on TV, I go, I'm like a little kid that's a fan. I go nuts. And I'm like, I know them. There they are. And I'm like, I've never talked to you all face to face. Well, you all I have now. But others I haven't talked to face to face. So when I see them on TV and I'm excited about it, it's kind of crazy. I don't think that would happen anywhere else that, you know, of all the other sports and people that I follow in other sports leagues, I don't ever see them on TV. So it's kind of funny when I see some of the people here on TV, and it's a pretty amazing family and community here. So who's going to coach the Riders next year, in your opinion? Early guess, I'm assuming. So
early guess, and just throwing it out there, I think it's going to be one of two. It's either going to be, there's going to be some kind of concession to get La Police out of Winnipeg, or they're going to promote Craig Dickinson and hire a DC.
That's what I think too.
So how off guard did this catch you when this happened the other day?
It's funny, you know, because it caught me off guard because he just renewed, you know, last week.
Right.
But I always kind of knew right from the very beginning that when he did go, he was going to go like this. So I just kind of, I personally have been sort of waiting for it, right? Like, it was shocking, but not, right? Like,
and I mean, you had to know it was coming because he's hit the peak in the CFL. There's no place else he can get higher in CFL than where he was in Saskatchewan. His resume speaks for itself, and I don't know how anybody can be mad at him and upset with him, because everybody congratulates the players when they get a contract tryout with an NFL team. Why is the coach any different?
He did great things for the team, and he deserves to do well. I mean, he's earned his resume.
I would have liked to see him take that one more step and bring the Grey Cup home. For no other reason than the last time he won a Grey Cup, he brought it back to East Tennessee and had a big thing. Well, that was before I was a CFL fan. So, of course, soon after people told me, you know, he's from East Tennessee. And I pull it up and find he had a big event just south of here with the Grey Cup. And I'm like, you know, if he could have won it this year, you know, he would have just been 30 minutes from the school that I work at. So,
nice.
Yeah, you're not alone wishing it. He was able to make that last step.
The funny thing is, I was working a middle school basketball game. I was working the concession stand at our middle school basketball game the night that that it happened, and I got a text from the band director that said he just left. And I was like, how amazing is it that I'm working a middle school basketball game, and my band director from Canada gives me a CFL text. I was like, CFL families all over the place. So
yep.
pretty amazing. If you'll hold on just a second. Sorry for the abrupt ending there. Steve and Carrie did a fantastic job. Again, follow them on Twitter if you're not already. BC Stubble Jumper and Correct 45. I'll post both of them when I post the podcast. Their follows. Great CFL fans, great follows, and just another great example of this amazing CFL family. People come from all over. But I will never find another group of people, another fan base that's quite as amazing as this CFL family. So at that, I'm going to kind of wrap it up. I do want to talk just for a minute about running backs. We talked last week about quarterbacks on our old podcast. Now that we're transitioning to the newer podcast, I asked them off the air who they believe they're the best current CFL running back is, and Steve said that he believes it's Andrew Harris and Powell. Carrie said Andrew Harris, you know, that she went with him. I'm also in agreement that I think Harris and Powell are just the two greatest backs in the league. I put James Wilder in there as well. I think he is a complete back. James Wilder catches the ball, runs the ball, and can really wear a defense down, just like these other backs. But I think in CFL, it's kind of amazing because there are a lot of really good running backs. When you think about James Wilder, Powell, Sutton, Standback, Johnson, the list goes on and on. And then, of course, Andrew Harris. But when you really look at the running backs in the Canadian Football League, you know Harris ran for 1,390 yards. He had a 5.8 average per carry. Powell had 5.4, C.J. Gable 5.4, Don Jackson 5.8, Trey Mason 5.1. So you're talking to Jeremiah Johnson 5.3, Alex Green 5.3. Standback had a 6.7 average per carry. So when you really think about these running backs, remember this is kind of a passing league, but these running backs really help, you know, get this yardage. Now part of that is, yes, they're kind of backing up to play the pass, but you know, these running backs can wear down a defense, and these are the kind of guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield, complete backs. So the question that I've kind of asked on Twitter was, who's the best back? Who's the best back in the league? A lot of Andrew Harris. I think I got a Powell or two. And then, of course, I think Mike Pringle, somebody said. And I said, well, really looking at current, but, you know, he did have, you know, that phenomenal season a while back. So I want to really think, you know, who's the best running back? Who's the guy you would start your team with? Who's the one that you would say, you know what, if I'm the Atlantic Schooners and I can pick up a running back and try to build a team around, not just a quarterback, but a running back, who's that running back I build the team around? Powell is a good young running back. Again, Steve off the air said, you know, you've got Andrew Harris, who's that number one guy, and that Powell, who's that up-and-comer. He's the new guy. He's the one that's going to kind of carry to the torch, you know, a little further. But I'm totally and unbelievably in awe at the response that I got of how many people said, hey, I'll be on the show. Again, I don't know how the quality of the audio came out, so we'll see as I go into editing here. Hopefully everything turned out well. Hopefully this was worth a listen for you. Each week, I'm going to try to bring you another CFL family member and bring it in. If you're interested on being on the show, you know, send me a message. You can either send me a message on Twitter at DGTNTeacher, or you can send it to CFL Fam Worldwide. So at CFL Fam Worldwide or at DGTNTeacher. Either one of those, I'll get those messages. I would love to have you on. I'd love to hear your story. I'd love to talk a little CFL football with you. Until the next time, have a great day, have a great week, and let's hope that CBA gets done quick.